I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is December 11th, 2011. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, taken from the website of Christian Fighter Pilot. His essay is titled, Does the Bible Support Christian Military Service? He begins, despite the sometime pacifist assumptions placed upon Christian belief, Pilot, those assumptions, as you call them, were placed on Christians by Jesus Christ himself. Next time you read your Bible, look for the red font. Apparently you missed that part. He continues, many biblical men of old and renown have been soldiers and still been faithful men of God, and nowhere was their military service questioned. Abraham, whom God selected to bless as the father of his chosen nation, was one of the earliest generals. Pilate, wasn't Abraham the guy who pimped his wife off to the Pharaoh by pretending to be her brother? It sounds like God doesn't set the morality bar very high for his generals. He said, Moses and Joshua both led the Israelites in countless battles. Pilate, countless battles was an excellent choice of words. It describes your Bible perfectly, the most violent, bloody book ever written. Fighter Pilot said, God himself ordered the Israelites to battle. So Pilot, why would your God order humans to kill other humans when he simply could have done it himself? Then none of the Israelites would have had to have been maimed or killed. He said, and commanded his own army for that matter. And then he gives a verse from 2 Kings in chapter 6, verse 17. Pilate, here's a verse for you, Judges 1:19. It looks like there are times when your all-powerful God isn't so all-powerful. Fighter Pilot continues, David, a man after God's own heart, said that God trained his hands for battle. Interesting, Pilot. I don't know anyone who could have produced a better argument for the horror that is Christianity than you're doing right now. By the way, are you ever going to get to the New Testament? You know, the part at the end of the Bible where Jesus appears and teaches just the opposite of everything you've said? He said, David not only fought in war, but also participated in some of the most brutal acts of slaughter recorded in the Bible. Pilate, have you ever heard the warning, when you're in a hole, quit digging? I guess not. He said, in the military tradition of praise the Lord and pass the ammunition, Nehemiah prayed to God and posted a guard and told the leaders of Jerusalem to remember the Lord and fight. Pilate, that hole is getting really deep. Are you sure you want to keep going? This is the easiest debate I've ever been in. You are doing a better job of making the atheist case than I ever could. Fighter Pilot continues, thus, to claim all war is evil is to say not only that God enjoined Israel to sin, but that he did so himself, which is inconsistent with the very character of God. Actually, Pilot, that is completely consistent with the character of your God, as described in the Bible. He said there are countless other military references in the Bible. Pilot, you're telling me? There are more stories of mayhem and slaughter in the Bible than in most chainsaw massacre books. Fighter Pilot continues, some verses speak of military service neutrally, neither condemning it nor advocating it. Others are full of praise for military conquest. Proverbs, hailed as the Book of Wisdom, contains advice for military preparation, such as, for waging war you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. Pilate, think about it. You need guidance and advisors for waging and winning war. Absolutely brilliant. Who could have ever figured that out? I can see now why it is considered the Book of Wisdom. He said, in Judges, a town was cursed for not participating in war in support of Israel. Pilate, you just provided proof of what God does to those who actually do obey the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Keep digging, Pilate, and pretty soon you'll get to try out your Chinese. He said, in the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews didn't have enough time to fully list the heroes of faith who conquered kingdoms and became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Pilate, can you imagine how large the Bible would be if he had? Fighter Pilate said, while trying to teach the crowds about counting the cost of following him, Jesus used a warfare example without passing judgment on the subjects of his story. When he said, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king, will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. Finally, Pilate, you found Jesus. What gave him away? It was the red font, wasn't it? And when you did find him, what did Jesus recommend? Negotiation. Pretty much the opposite of everything you've quoted up until now. Fighter Pilate said, three individual soldiers are specifically mentioned in the New Testament, all members of the Roman army. Nowhere is their profession criticized, nor are they directed to leave the service. Pilate, I would say that their profession was criticized in the Sermon on the Mount. Pilate, you should read it sometime, and then try to explain how it supports military service. He said, first, at the foot of the cross, one soldier acknowledged the crucified Christ as God. The second asked Jesus to heal his servant, and even told Jesus to simply say the word, because he was unworthy to have Jesus come to his house. Jesus was astonished, and said he had not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. But he didn't direct the soldier to abandon the military. Pilate, he didn't tell the soldier to remain in the military either. So what? To join the military in the first place requires one to ignore the majority of Jesus' teachings. Fighter Pilate said, the third and most famous New Testament soldier was Cornelius, a God-fearing Roman centurion. Not only did an angel of God appear to him and acknowledge his faithfulness, but he was also used as an object lesson for Peter, resulting in the expansion of Christ's message to the Gentiles. Pilate, since Jews don't believe Jesus was divine, perhaps Jesus should have spent more time trying to convince his own people of his divinity instead of the Gentiles. Fighter Pilate said, neither the angel nor Peter commanded Cornelius to leave the military, nor was it a part of the important lesson taught. Pilate, the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is what tells soldiers to leave the military. Since these soldiers were in the military, it is obvious that God's commandments meant as little to them as it does to you. So why would God waste his time telling them to leave the military when they've already made it clear that they don't follow his commandments anyway? Now the fighter pilot says, Paul was not judgmental when he used an example of military service, and he also described his friends as good soldiers. When John the Baptist told those who approach him to bear fruit or be thrown into the fire, soldiers asked what they should do. He told them not to extort money or falsely accuse people, but to be content with their pay. He didn't take the perfect opportunity to tell them to quit. Pilate, how do you know that? Just because it wasn't included in the Gospel of Luke doesn't mean that he didn't tell them that. There may have been many things they discussed that weren't included in that gospel. Now Fighter Pilate says, Paul spent years with soldiers in his travels to and imprisonment in Rome. In none of these cases were the soldiers encouraged to leave their profession. On the contrary, in his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul says that each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. It is interesting to note that while no one in the Bible directed soldiers to forsake their profession, Pilate, you keep arguing that soldiers are not told to quit the military. you are avoiding the real issue, which is, why would any Christian join the military in light of the teachings of Jesus Christ? The two are simply not compatible. You cannot answer that accusation, which is why you are trying to distract everyone by concentrating on those who are already in. And as explained earlier, there is no point telling people to leave when it is clear that they have already ignored God's commandment. Fighter Pilate said, "The New Testament says the state is created to maintain justice and is thus granted the right of force." John Calvin, one of the most prolific contributors to the modern Protestant church, agreed governments have been given the authority to use force to protect their national interests, just as they can rightfully protect their citizens from criminals. Both a military and a police force are necessary to ensure the security of a nation. American police and the American military differ only in geography and lethality. To say the military violates Christian ethics is to say the same for the police. Pilate, the only time police may use deadly force is in self-defense or to save the life of another. Military personnel may use deadly force in many more situations, situations that involve the initiation of killing. So you have committed the logical fallacy of false analogy. He added, "Even those trained to fight wars do not desire them." Pilate, somebody must desire them, or there wouldn't be any. He said, "The military exists because of war. War does not exist because of the military." Pilate, it is militaries that must be created first in order for there to be war. Your claim doesn't make any sense, that war exists, therefore we must create militaries. Pilate, backwards doesn't even begin to describe your mentality. Fighter Pilate stated, "To assert the latter is equivalent to saying that crime exists because of the police." Pilate, crime exists because of criminals. Without criminals, there would be no crime. What you just tried to do was to substitute the word police for criminals, and then try to claim that, taking the position that militaries are responsible for war, is equivalent to believing that police are responsible for crime. That was either very dishonest or very illogical. Either way, Pilate, you lose. Fighter Pilate said, "Some accept the need for a military, but not the need for aggressive actions. Instead, they believe the military should only be used for defense. While that desire is admirable, it displays naivete about military strategy. There is no progress in defense." That's true, Pilate. How can you take other people's stuff if you don't attack them? He said, "Just as a football team needs its offensive line to march down the field and score, the military will need to execute offensively to end a conflict." Pilate, that was another false analogy, this time leading to an assertion. Football is a sport where people go to have a good time, while war always involves killing people. They are not analogous. And your assertion is false in those cases where the besieged are successful in holding off their attackers. Fighter Pilate said, "Defensive military action may best be executed in offense." You know, Pilate, the thought that you might someday become a general is scarier than the thought of Iran with a nuclear capability. Fighter Pilate continues, "Once the conflict begins, often only the decisive defeat of the enemy will bring a secure and lasting conclusion." Pilate, so the option of a negotiated peace never occurred to you? Guess not. He said, "Offense will be required to achieve a peaceful end. This also means that war must be fought in the place it presents itself. Whether it is defending U.S. borders, protecting citizens abroad, or asserting justice to protect the innocent, the conflict must be joined where it occurs." Pilate, how could it be joined where it doesn't occur? Now Fighter Pilate is going to discuss the impact of war on Christianity. Pilate, I think a better topic would be the reverse, the impact of Christianity on war. You could write on that for centuries without running out of material. So, Pilot, you worked on this essay so you could come up with justifications for Christians to ignore Jesus' teachings and rationalize why it is okay to travel to foreign countries and kill people? Now that sounds more like the Christianity I know. Fighter Pilot said, "The military profession has actually helped spread the cause of Christ." We know, Pilot, that's the problem. Without the force of military power, Christianity and Islam would be just harmless little cults like Wicca. He said, "Throughout history, members of faith within the military have been responsible for the transmission of Christianity around the globe." Pilot, I couldn't have put it better. Christianity and Islam are spread with the sword. Now Fighter Pilot says, "Paul's interaction with the Roman centurions undoubtedly led to the spread of faith throughout the Roman Empire, which at the time was the greater part of the known world." And Pilate, after Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire, it wasn't long before we saw the fall of the Roman Empire. Fighter Pilate said, "The U.S. military itself has probably been one of the greatest missionary causes in history, from the earliest parts of the 1700s to the Korean and Vietnam Wars." Pilate, that statement goes against military law, which prohibits proselytization while deployed in foreign nations. If you are in the military, as you claim, you should know that. He continues, "For those trying to understand the relationship between God, the military, and war, there is one important fact to remember. God does not change. The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are one and the same. Nowhere does God claim that he desires war, death, and destruction, but there are many places where he acknowledges the necessity of it." Pilate, God not only acknowledged the necessity of war, death, and destruction, but according to Christianity, he has been personally responsible for nearly all of it. Fighter Pilate said, "The same God who directed human armies and commanded a superhuman one spoke of loving mankind and desiring peace." Pilate, if an all-powerful God desires peace, why is our planet always at war? Why can't an all-powerful God get what he desires? Fighter Pilate said, "Nowhere does God command a Christian to avoid or leave the military, nor does he demand he allow himself to be walked upon." Pilate, didn't we already discuss this? The problem isn't avoiding or leaving the military. The problem is, why would a Christian who follows Jesus' teachings join in the first place? And Pilate, you really need to brush up on your Bible. It seems like you've been spending so much time in the Old Testament that you completely forgot what Jesus taught about turning the other cheek. If turning the other cheek isn't being walked on, then I don't know what is. So Jesus did teach that you should allow yourself to be walked on. Now he says, "A Christian is to act in love and peace as much as possible." Pilate, that's kind of hard to do during war. And Pilate, America is the most Christian country on earth, and it is also at war more than any country on earth. Fighter Pilot said, "But when the opposition will not accept it, God does not say that a Christian must let evil, injustice, or brutality prevail." Pilot, just because the opposition disagrees with you and will not accept the terms you dictate does not mean they are the evil, brutal ones. He said, "Because this is a fallen world, wars will never cease." Pilot, rational people do not see this as a fallen world. They see it as a world full of humans who are very slowly becoming civilized. That task is made more difficult because of the violent ghost worshippers whose goals, as stated in their own holy books, is world domination. Fighter Pilot said, "So long as wars are sure to come, there will be a need for a military." Pilot, then let's spend more time on trying to figure out how to stop them instead of devoting all your time trying to rationalize why it's okay to continue them. He said, "One day Jesus will return in glory." Pilate, we've been hearing that for 2,000 years. Since you like predictions, here's one for you. In 50,000 years, any remaining Christians will be just as certain as you are that Jesus' return is right around the corner. And what do you mean in glory? What glory do you find in the death and destruction promised upon Christ's return? You have to be one sick little dude to find glory in such a horrible event, an event that makes nuclear war pale by comparison. Fighter Pilate said, "Until that day, Christians must live as best they can in this present world." Pilate, they could live a lot better if they would quit trying to conquer the world and convert everyone into their sick little death cult. Pilate, the title of this essay is, "Does the Bible Support Christian Military Service?" And the best you had to offer was, "Nowhere is their profession criticized, nor are they directed to leave the service." So your conclusion, based on that logic, is that the Bible does support military service. Now, Pilate, apply that exact same logic to slavery in the Bible. Pilate, checkmate. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, genetic study confirms that first dogs came from East Asia. Researchers say they have found further proof that the wolf ancestors of today's domesticated dogs can be traced to southern East Asia, findings that run counter to theories placing the cradle of the canine line in the Middle East. A new study confirms that an Asian region south of the Yangtze River was the principal and probably sole region where wolves were domesticated by humans. Data on genetics, morphology, and behavior show clearly that dogs are descended from wolves, but there's never been a scientific consensus on where in the world the domestication process began. The analysis of Y-chromosomal DNA now confirms that wolves were first domesticated in Asia south of the Yangtze River. The Y data supports previous evidence from mitochondrial DNA. Taken together, the two studies provide very strong evidence that dogs originated in that region. Archaeological data and a genetic study recently published in Nature suggested that dogs originated from the Middle East, but none of those studies included samples from the southern China region. Approximately half of the gene pool was universally shared everywhere in the world, while only the southern China region had the entire range of genetic diversity. This shows that gene pools in all other regions of the world most probably originate from the southern China region. These results confirm that Asia, south of the Yangtze River, was the most important and probably the only region for wolf domestication, and that a large number of wolves were domesticated. In their studies, the researchers also found minor genetic contributions from crossbreeding between dogs and wolves in other geographic regions, including the Middle East. This subsequent dog-wolf hybridization contributed only modestly to the dog gene pool. And now we move to the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, a quote attributed to either Edward Gibbon or Seneca the Younger. Since their biographies have been previously given, I will skip the biographies and get right to the quote. "Religion is regarded by the common people as true, by the wise as false, and by the rulers as useful."
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.